It's Thursday, December 17th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I want to remind you about the 2009 Stashy Awards. This is our second annual awards where we take a look at all the stories we covered in the Daily Audio Stash for the past year and cover the best and worst of them as far as the stupid stoner stories, the reefer madness, and the best and worst in all of the medical, recreational, and industrial hemp stories that we've put on the air. So go on to stash.normal.org. You'll see the post at the top of the page. Log into the comments and make your nominations. Next week, we will put up the votes for the Stashies, and then on our New Year's Eve show, we'll be announcing the winners. Also want to point out Normal Show Live this weekend. We're going to have a special holiday edition of Normal Show Live, and joining us to talk about the new year is Executive Director Alan St. Pierre and Normal Founder Keith Stropp. We'll take a look back at 2009 and look forward into 2010 for what is sure to be the best year ever in marijuana law reform. And speaking of the upcoming year, I've got a secret that I just can't keep any longer about the future of the Daily Audio Stash. I know a lot of you, especially those of you out on the East Coast, are a little concerned about how late the stash has been coming out, and you just wish you could get something a little bit earlier in the day. Well, I've got the perfect solution for you. Starting the first week of January, beginning on January 4th, we are merging Normal Show Live and the Normal Daily Audio Stash. That's right, your stash podcast will be an hour long, and it will appear every day, 4 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 o'clock Pacific Time, live from Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe. You'll still get all the great features you've always enjoyed in the Daily Audio Stash, the Reefer Madness, the Hemp Headlines, and so on, and our Daily Toker Tunes will still continue on. It's just you'll get a chance to listen to them live at work, if you happen to be at work, on your computer. But for those of you who like to listen to it on the iPod or other MP3 player, don't fret. It will still also be a podcast. About 10 to 15 minutes after we finish the live show, it will automatically be uploaded to iTunes and to our page up at live.normal.org, so you can subscribe to the podcast that way. It'll be a little bit of a transition. We'll have to get you moved over to the new links and the new websites, but beginning January 4th, a new experience, live weekday audio from Normal with all your news and headlines every day. I really can't wait to get started. Now, coming up on your Daily Audio Stash, we'll begin with your cannabis community calendar, and then it's a look at our hemp headlines with breaking news out of the state of New Jersey, where John Ray Wilson, the multiple sclerosis patient, was acquitted of the most serious drug charge today, but still faces a couple of other hurdles. In Denver, we have a story of an armed robbery at a marijuana dispensary, and we have more reefer madness from a writer who claims to be a substance abuse expert, talking about how medical marijuana is a charade. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by John Doe Radio, it's Groovin' Thursday, and we got a tune from Strawberry Jam called Without a Warrant. And today we get to go down to sunny Southern California in our Southern California scene and visit with Terry Joyce, who's part of a new show called American Hemptress, and Dejay Kuti from the Patients Advocacy Network discussing the ins and outs of the LA City Council trying to regulate the dispensaries in Los Angeles County. All that and more coming up now on your normal daily audio stash.
There were 765,000 marijuana arrests in 2007. That's not for dealers and kingpins. No, that's just for simple possession. Multiply that by the average cost of each arrest, and what have you got? $7.6 billion spent on people just smoking some pot. That's enough money to buy health insurance for every child that needs it. That's enough cash to adopt every stray dog and enough left over to feed it. Mr. Obama, I kinda wrote this song for you. You got my vote for change. Now let's see what you can do.
Grow me something fat and long. Pack me a boat or fill me a bomb. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
It's time for your cannabis community calendar, available online at normal.org/calendar. To get your events added to the calendar, send me an email with the subject calendar request to stash@normal.org. On Friday, December 18th, Normal of Waco, Inc. presents San Francisco in Waco, featuring the bands Curb Check and Spore 333, and other bands as well. Tickets are $5 in advance, $10 at the door. Dress in your favorite 60s attire, and for more information, check out normalwacoinc.org. Also on Friday, December 18th, Kansas City Normal features Funk at the Reggae Dance Summit, 4050 Pennsylvania Avenue, number 150 in Kansas City, Missouri, with music from Seed Love, Mouth, and special guest Kansas City Normal. Check out more information at kcnormal.org or call 888-KC-NORMAL. On Saturday, December 19th, Normal Show Live is on the air at live.normal.org, featuring a look back at 2009 and forward to 2010 with Normal founder Keith Stropp and executive director Alan St. Pierre. Next week, on Monday, December 21st, Dr. Detroit's Winter Solstice Party is taking place in Detroit, Michigan. Check out minormal.org for more details. And on Monday, Kansas City Normal has their meeting. Check out kcnormal.org for more details. And for information on all of these events, including email addresses, phone numbers, names, addresses, maps, and more, check out our cannabis community calendar at normal.org/calendar.
From Washington, D.C., the belly of the anti-marijuana beast. Season's greetings from Normal staff and the board of directors to you and yours. This is Alan St. Pierre, executive director of Normal and the Normal Foundation, and I sincerely hope your holidays are both safe and hemp-filled.
Hi, this is Normal founder and legal counsel Keith Stropp, wishing you a happy holiday from Normal. Let's use this time with family and friends to rededicate ourselves to ending marijuana prohibition and stopping the arrest of responsible marijuana smokers. Happy holidays.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. Normal even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. Normal, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. Normal is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org. That's NORML.org. Or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. New Jersey multiple sclerosis patient John Ray Wilson acquitted of most serious felony drug charge. NBC New York. A Somerset County man who tried to use a medical defense for several marijuana charges received a split verdict from a jury in Somerville. John Ray Wilson suffers from MS and was caught growing 17 pot plants at his rental home in the summer of 2008. Despite his attorney's efforts to use Wilson's medical condition as a defense, the jury convicted him on a manufacturing charge as well as a separate count for possession of a baggie of psychedelic mushrooms. However, the jury did not find him guilty on the most serious charge of maintaining a manufacturing facility for marijuana. Wilson faced up to 20 years on the drug manufacturing charge, much to the frustration of medical marijuana advocates. Police say Wilson never denied growing the marijuana when they came to his house on August 18, 2008, after a National Guard helicopter spotted the plants from the air. When they searched his home, they also found two sandwich bags of pot, along with another small bag of what turned out to be illegal hallucinogenic mushrooms. Two sympathetic state senators want Governor John Corzine to pardon Wilson before Corzine leaves office January 19th. The two senators, Nicholas Scutari and Ray Lesniak, are also leading an effort in the lame duck legislature to pass a medical marijuana law before Republican Chris Christie takes office that day. Although Christie has said he supports medical marijuana, it is not clear he would approve the current version before the legislature. This is some fantastic news out of New Jersey. Chris Goldstein from Normal New Jersey and the Coalition for Medical Marijuana called me to break the news this afternoon. He told me that it seems like the jury understood that that drug facility charge was a misapplication of a statute that was intended to shut down cocaine and meth labs, not to take out people that are growing medical marijuana for their own personal medical purposes. This follows yesterday where the judge, in a stunning reversal, Judge Robert Reed, allowed Wilson to mention that he had told the arresting officers that he grows the medical marijuana for his MS. He did not allow him to elaborate or have any follow-ups, but this is a lot better than the original situation where the judge had forbid him from mentioning anything about his multiple sclerosis. The judge said it was irrelevant why he was growing the marijuana. The fact was that he was growing the marijuana. So, anyway, Wilson avoids the 20-year mandatory minimum, but he still is awaiting sentencing on the cultivation and mushroom charges. He is out on bail until then. Injured in armed robbery of Denver dispensary. From the Denver Channel. Two Denver elementary schools were put on temporary lockdown Wednesday morning after an armed robbery at a medical marijuana dispensary. Monroe Elementary and Castro Elementary were locked down after shots were reported fired at the Healthy Choice Wellness Center in southwest Denver. The lockdown was lifted shortly before noon. According to a co-owner of the business, two people tried to rob the dispensary and shots were fired. Three people were transported to the hospital with unknown injuries. One of the robbers was arrested, and a second robber is still being sought. Well, I can hear the reefer-mad prohibitionists now wailing about how the dispensaries bring crime and violence to the neighborhood, and my God, what about the children? Well, why do people commit robbery? In this case, they were either desperate for money or desperate for marijuana. If they were desperate for money, they could have robbed a bank or a convenience store, and nobody would complain that we shouldn't open banks and stores near schools. They robbed a dispensary because it is flush with money, because marijuana prohibition keeps the price of marijuana artificially high. If they were desperate for marijuana, either for themselves or for resale, then once again, it is the prohibition of marijuana that makes its theft a lucrative option and its acquisition more difficult for healthy people. This is the backlash I fear on the path from medical marijuana to legalization. For years, we've been told drugs create violence, corruption, and death. We know it is the prohibition, not the drugs, that is the cause. I mean, prohibit sugar and you'd see sugar gangs and sugar wars. But that point is missed by most of the public. So when a violent armed robbery occurs in a dispensary, it's their opportunity to say, "See, we legalized marijuana just a little bit and look what happened. We told you drugs cause violence and crime." Where prohibition's social harms had been blamed on the drug itself, now there's the risk of the harms being blamed on the effort to legalize the drugs.
Marijuana is an addictive drug, which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Substance abuse expert, medical marijuana is a charade. Today's dose of reefer madness comes from Chet Philippe, who has been employed for the past 35 years in the treatment of substance addiction and 12 years in teaching about substance addiction at College of the Sequoias, Porterville College, and Merced College in California. He lives in Visalia, California. And this was from the Visalia Times Delta.
The issue of medical marijuana is a charade. Consider the following. Its destructive power. Nicotine is the most addictive drug in the world and kills 400,000 plus people annually. Marijuana is addicting and more dangerous than nicotine because of the euphoric feeling. It's 7 to 14 times more powerful today than in the 1960s.
No, it's not. Marijuana might be twice as potent as it was in the 1960s, if that. And marijuana kills how many people annually? Oh yeah, zero. For a substance abuse expert, you sure seem ignorant about the nature of addiction. According to Jack E. Henningfield's evaluation of addictiveness for the National Institute on Drug Abuse, here's a comparison on the addictive qualities of nicotine versus cannabis, and for fun, let's look at the caffeine we regularly ingest in coffee and sodas. There are five different measurements here for addictive qualities, the first being withdrawal, the presence and severity of withdrawal symptoms. With tobacco, it rates a 4, marijuana only rates a 1, and caffeine actually rates a 2. Reinforcement, which is the measure of the substance's ability to get users to take it over and over again, tobacco rates a 3, somewhat serious, whereas marijuana only rates a 2, and caffeine only rates a 1. Tolerance is a measure of how much the substance is needed to satisfy the increasing cravings for it. With tobacco, that rates a number 5, very serious. But marijuana is only a 1. And caffeine is actually a 2 for tolerance. Dependence is how difficult it is for the user to quit, their relapse rate, the rate of dependence, and so on. And tobacco gets the highest possible ranking, a 6, most serious. Marijuana gets the lowest possible ranking, a 1. And again, caffeine is actually a 2 when it comes to dependence. Finally, intoxication is the measure of how much impairment you're going to get from the substance. This is the only place where marijuana ranks above tobacco. Marijuana gets a 3, somewhat serious. Tobacco gets a 2, slightly serious. And caffeine gets a 1, least serious.
Marijuana causes cancers throughout the respiratory system, nose, throat, mouth, tongue, lungs, breasts, and so on.
No, it doesn't. In fact, a government-funded researcher named Dr. Donald Tashkin tried for 30 years to expose the association between marijuana smoking and lung cancer. He instead found, quote, "no association and even a suggestion of some protective effect," end quote. Tashkin continued to say, quote, "Early on, when our research appeared as if there would be a negative impact on lung health, I was opposed to legalization because I thought it would lead to increased use and that would lead to increased health effects. But at this point, I'd be in favor of legalization," end quote.
"It is instrumental in destroying the body in other ways due to its damaging effects to the immune system."
Right, which is why tens of thousands of doctors have recommended medical marijuana for their HIV/AIDS patients with their severely compromised immune systems.
It is physically and psychologically addictive. Addiction requires withdrawal. Because marijuana is fat-soluble, marijuana leaves the system gradually. It does not feel like withdrawal. It feels like the flu. Marijuana withdrawal symptoms. Withdrawal of a drug means physical addiction. Irritability, anxiety, physical tension, heavy perspiration, confusion, auditory hallucinations, depression, fatigue, decrease in appetite and mood, headaches, double vision, and apathy.
So, marijuana is terribly physically addictive, but when you stop using it, it doesn't feel like withdrawal. Not like, say, heroin, where withdrawal feels like you're going to die, or alcohol, where you very possibly could die from the withdrawal alone. Plus, about half the symptoms Chet lists can't be found in any serious literature on the matter of marijuana withdrawal, and even the ones he's right on, like sleeping problems, sweating, decreased appetite, restlessness, nervousness, and sadness, are only found in less than half of those cannabis users deemed addicted.
Issues related to marijuana. Serious prenatal damage. Marijuana has caused deformity in different areas of babies.
Shockingly untrue. Prenatal exposure to marijuana does not cause deformities, low birth weight, or cognitive damages.
Impotency after prolonged use. Inability to perform after prolonged use. Marijuana is in the testicles.
Which, of course, explains why the Rastafarians died out, and you never see any tie-dye-wearing hippie kids anymore.
Short-term memory damage first, then transfers to long-term brain damage.
Complete lie. During marijuana impairment, there is a problem with short-term memory. When you're not high, that problem goes away. There is no long-term brain damage associated even with chronic daily marijuana smoking.
Drooping breasts for the female, a percentage of females depending upon amount and time of use.
Yes, ladies, if you smoke pot until you are 80 years old, your breasts will droop. Of course, if you don't smoke pot, your breasts will still probably droop at age 80. This is the first time I have ever heard of pot affecting lady boobs. And judging by the many ladies I know who smoke a lot of pot, I will unscientifically declare this to be bullshit. I'd link you to a debunking article, but not surprisingly, scientists haven't done a lot of research into cannabinoid mammary droopage syndrome. However, if there is to be a study, I hereby volunteer for data collection and analysis.
Floppy breasts for males, a percentage depending upon amount and time of use.
Ah, there we go, my old favorite gynecomastia, or the old man boobs from marijuana lie. The theory here is that marijuana use lowers testosterone, therefore the estrogen-testosterone balance is tipped toward the female hormone, and thus toward growing man boobs. The truth, however, is that gynecomastia is very rare, and the more likely cause of man boobs among male stoners is eating junk food and not exercising.
Removes pubic hair, male and female. Removes male chest and facial hair.
Well, that proves it. Every porn star and male model is a pothead. Not only is there no research to confirm this wacky notion, but I'm struggling to understand how these effects even fit in a laundry list of reasons not to use marijuana.
Marijuana may involve your death, but you'll feel better. Deaths have occurred from driving under the influence, aggressive behavior after prolonged use, walking in front of traffic, home incidents, fires, gas leaks, etc.
Oh my God. Who are these violent stoner arsonists who are walking in front of traffic? Every time I compose one of these Reefer Madness articles, I'm more convinced that marijuana is a terrible drug that will freakishly alter the mind of the people intent on prohibiting it, that is.
Normal420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today. It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show, accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and johndoeradio.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on the Daily Audio Stash, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
1 mile high, John Doe.
I'm John Doe, bringing you your Groovin' Thursday tune on the Normal Daily Audio Stash. Strawberry Jam, a great funky-sounding band from the heart of conservative Texas. They've taken their talent with music and used it to address issues they feel strongly about. And since the song Without a Warrant ended up here on the Normal Daily Audio Stash Groovin' Thursday, you can bet one of the causes this band backs is marijuana reform. The song lyrics to the song Without a Warrant open with a simple yet strong statement: wrists locked up behind my back because the man says it's an illegal act. This statement brings into question the basic rebel in all of us. Who says we can't get stoned? Or wait, maybe that was just the new John Mayer song echoing in my head. But either way, the song continues on to say, why don't we answer to God? It's also not surprising that a music act from the heart of conservative Texas would have strong faith. The band believes marijuana was put here by our creator for use in textiles, medicine, and recreationally. The lyrics in this tune that read, in a cell with a killer and a thief, ring strong with me. While I spent a few weeks in jail for my marijuana-related arrest and raid in 2007, I spent time with a man who tried to burn his house down with his girlfriend and her child in it. Luckily, they made it out, but that house and the house next to it weren't so fortunate. This quote-unquote prison transfer, being housed in the same jail as me, proudly displayed this act with a tattoo on his arm and was none too shy about telling the story. I couldn't fathom the justification for me being in the same room with him then, and I still can't believe the situation with many quote-unquote stoners and patients across America still happens to this day. Enjoy Strawberry Jam Without a Warrant and think about the great lyrics and message you were hearing. And in the words of James from the band Strawberry Jam, the world is toast. We're just spreading the jam. JDR is glad to be just another butter knife. It's good times on the Normal Daily Audio Stash. I'm John Doe, getting to your Groovin' Thursday tune on the Normal Daily Audio Stash.
A man say it's an illegal act. It took me from my smooth passage to carry around this courtroom baggage. Not without a warrant, not without a warrant. I never thought they'd catch me for it. Not without a warrant. And now I'm sleeping in a concrete bed. There's a milk carton under my head, and I'm wondering how I'ma get home. I've been hearing it on the news. I've been
million spent, and what's the use? A plant only knows how to grow, and the politicians remain slow. Washington and Jamaica at war. How long it'll go, no one knows for sure. And I'm sleeping in a concrete bed, trying to remember what my mama said. She think herb is bad for my soul. She think herb is bad for my soul. But I think we should just let nature play its role and let them lay on to grow. And I'm sleeping in a concrete bed. There's a milk carton under my head, and I'm wondering how I'ma get home. But I'm judged by him alone. Why don't we answer to God?
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana, whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Weed.
That's Ruby Valley, hoobie ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce. As most of us are sitting through the cold of winter, we take this moment here to travel on down to beautiful, sunny Southern California and visit with our good friend Terry Joyce. Terry, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
It's very good to have you back here on our new schedule of the first and third Thursdays that we do our Southern California scene. And so it's been a while since we've talked to you last. How are you doing?
It has been a while. I'm doing well, thank you. did the our new show, American Hempthress.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about the new show.
It was wonderful. It was really wonderful. It's January Thomas and I, and we had our first show as American Hempthress at the Berkeley Clinic, which is a facility that they you can get yoga, you can talk to an herbalist, you can get Botox actually, and also you can get your medical marijuana recommendation. So, and they're willing to match each any other price out there. They'll match it at our clinic. Right now they have a special happening, so. We had a show, we had a good turnout, and we were standing room only, which was really exciting. So I'm very happy.
That's fantastic. I mean, a lot of good stuff happening down there in California. I was checking out the news recently and saw the announcement that the Tax Cannabis 2010 initiative has gotten more than enough signatures to qualify for the ballot. That's got to have everyone excited down there.
It does have us excited down here. It's really great that it's on the ballot. I have a little secret to reveal. There's actually two really hot topics, I think, going on in California. One is, getting the marijuana initiative on the ballot. The other one is gay marriage and overturning Proposition 8. And I happen to, fundraise for both of those causes.
Excellent.
I mean, not the marijuana one yet, but I mean, I work in both areas. And, I've been doing fundraising, you know how you're in front of a grocery store with a clipboard, you know? I've been doing that. And there's the marijuana initiative going at the same time. And, it's interesting because that's a whole underground world going on. And, so everybody wants to get to the turf to the grocery store before another person does because, you know, it's competition.
Right.
So, like, our office always talks about the marijuana guy. They go, oh, it's the marijuana guy. You know, so mean. And I go, how could the marijuana, the marijuana guy's mean? I go, how could he be mean? I have met the marijuana guy finally, and we got along just great.
Oh, I'm sure.
He actually asked me for my phone number.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Oh, that's great. A plethora of initiatives down there. Everybody's competing for signature turf. That's good news for democracy, if you ask me. I think that's a good thing. And as usual.
Which I'm going to yell out. Because I'll go, legalize gay marriage, and then I'll go, oh, marijuana, you know, because I'm on both sides, you know, so I'm like, wait a second, I'm not working for him, you know.
Hey, you know, you could just combine the two and call out to legalize gay marijuana.
I know, it's like, be gay and smoke weed, you know.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, we, of course, got to take a look at some of the activities that are going down there with the L.A. City Council, and I think this would probably be a perfect opportunity to bring on our guest for the day.
Yes, I do think it is a good time. I'd like to welcome again back to the show, the very popular, the very smart, the very hardworking and brilliant DJ Kuti.
Hi, DJ.
Oh, thanks, Terry. Hi, Russ. Good to be back.
You know, we were following some of the news coming from Southern California. Of course, the tale of the dispensaries goes on down there and, the LA City Council, trying to deal with them in the context of the city attorney, Carmen Trutanich, and the district attorney, Steve Cooley. It's quite a mess down there. I was wondering if you could give us an update with what's happened with the city council and where we go from here.
Sure. And I know it's very convoluting to people, you know, people who are not here in Southern California is, you know, you'll read a lot of sensational things, see a lot of sensational things in the media that aren't really quite accurate as to the direction where the city is really going. It's, you know, a press conference with a frothing DA threatening to raid everybody is much more exciting than 6.5 hours of hearings of watching the city council go through, you know, amending motion A through like JJ. I think we went through like, you know, 30 something amendments. So, you know, what I think happens in the media is it becomes, you know, more exciting to publicize some of the more negative things that are happening than some of the more positive. The city council does have their hands full with this. They are really trying to figure it out. And true to LA City Council style, they ended the year. Yesterday was their last city council meeting for this year, and they voted not to vote. They actually had to make a motion to vote that they weren't going to vote on this yesterday. That something that the planning department has been working on, and this is, I mean, I know this is like really nerdy planning and zoning stuff, but for any municipality out there in the country that is going to be grappling with the medical marijuana marijuana issue and possibly eventually have dispensaries in their community, they will go through this because the role of local bodies isn't to determine criminal or civil laws. It's to handle planning and zoning. They're responsible for the actual land there in the city. And that's what we're doing right now. And one of the things that our planning department did, which is going to help in a lot of different areas, is they've created these interactive maps where you can layer in sensitive uses like schools, churches, parks, the kinds of things that we're hearing that the city wants to include in that list. And then there's the buffer zones. What happens if you try to have a dispensary 500 feet from that use or 400 feet from that use? And by putting this interactive map up on the screen in the chamber for everyone to see, effectively what the planning department was able to show is that the provisions that the council wants to put in this ordinance would effectively cause every dispensary in the city to shut down but five.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, I've always looked at this, DJ. We see this in a lot of other medical marijuana states where they want to set this, 1,000 feet from a school, 1,000 feet from a playground, 1,000 feet from a park. I just did a story on one dispensary in South Whittier that had to close down because it was less than 1,000 feet away from a McDonald's play place. Tell us a little bit about this buffer zone thing.
About the what thing?
The buffer zones in this 1,000-foot area?
The buffer zone. Yeah, right. Well, I mean, that seems to be the most contentious debate right now is you've got some more liberal-leaning council members who feel, as long as these collectives are operating the way we're asking them to, it shouldn't matter how far away they are from anything. And then you have some council members that, I know they're saying 1,000 feet from this and that, but I think they realize that basically their request is so stringent that no one will be able to comply with it. And it's a way that council members can effectively institute a ban, in the name of compassion.
Right. Yeah, in that
it's
McDonald's.
I believe in medical marijuana and I support it, but I'm just going to support a zoning buffer that's so stringent that there won't be one in my district.
Right, the not in my backyard syndrome.
Absolutely.
In that McDonald's case too, the other thing that really bothered me about it is this dispensary was farther away from the McDonald's than an adult cocktail lounge called Animal Crackers of all things and a smoke shop that sells like knives and pornography and tobacco. So it always bothers me when they say, oh, medical marijuana is so scary. We can't have it near the kids. And yet cocktail lounges, liquor stores, pharmacies, smoke shops, that's all fine.
I was joking with some friends of mine that if they wanted to, fight this buffering, this 1,000-feet buffering, that they should just put their dispensary in a strip club and then they can be 600 feet from sensitive uses because pole dancing is more accepted in LA than medical marijuana.
Oh, so there's a 600-foot buffer for strip clubs, but 1,000-foot is what they're proposing for dispensaries.
Yes.
Oh my. Okay.
And what the interactive maps were able to show, and I mean, it drew huge gaps from the people in the chamber, is that basically there would be two industrial zones in the entire city.
Wow.
And all 187 dispensaries would be fighting to try to get into those two industrial parks.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And speaking
so
of...
So you could go buy your medical marijuana where they're refining oil.
Right.
Like that.
Right, exactly. Now, you mentioned the 187 dispensaries. This refers back to the dispensaries that had opened before LA enacted that so-called moratorium that everybody drove through the loopholes on that one. And we now got hundreds and hundreds of dispensaries. I had read that the council was deciding to cap the number of dispensaries at 70, but they'd allow the 186 or 187 to stay open. I mean, how does a cap stay at 70 when it's not really 70?
Well, what they're doing is they're giving priority status to the 187 to apply. So basically, it's kind of a floor and a ceiling.
Okay.
The floor will be 70, the ceiling will be 187.
I see. So the media calling it a cap is kind of a misnomer there. It's more of a floor.
Yes, it's definitely more of a floor.
Okay. So you say the city council has adjourned at this point. What are we looking for as far as the future and coming up with any sort of guidance or decision on these issues?
Well, the way it ended yesterday, there were definitely council members that wanted to debate these maps, and that was not the lead council member's plan for this at all. He pleaded with everyone to simply take these maps back to their offices, talk with their planning deputies and their legislative aides about this, ask questions of the planning department and the chief legislative analyst, kind of work together more behind the scenes and actually come back on January 13th to discuss issues. On January 15th, they plan on voting in the ordinance.
Okay.
So one of the things that was actually discussed was putting this item on the agenda all by itself. Because yesterday the city council heard like 80 some items addition to ours.
Oh.
And what happens, unfortunately, is when our issue ends up in the chamber, we're there until 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. So I think they know that if we're really going to get this first part of the ordinance done, that we're going to have to just focus on this agenda item alone. And the thing, you know, even if we get through this phase of it, they haven't even determined what the application is going to look like, what department is responsible for what fees the dispensaries are going to pay as they pick up and drop off different aspects of this application. So we're only getting through what's considered the operational standards mm-hmm. portion of this ordinance. We haven't even gotten through the fee structure yet.
Oh, man. Now, as the negotiations go on and the testimony goes on here with the city council, do you folks at Patients Advocacy Network and the other advocacy groups that are out there, do you feel like the city council here is really trying to solve this in good faith, or is it a case of them just trying to restrict it as much as they possibly can?
I think our council right now is almost split straight down the middle in that way. We have some really wonderful allies on the council, people who speak very eloquently, who say some of the things you're hearing me say about an attempt to zone collectives out of existence. And, you know, you have council members who are already using language like, well, if we can't negotiate a 500-foot buffer or less, then I'm voting no. And you already have council members saying, well, if I don't get 1,000 seats for my district, I'm voting no.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that what is going to happen now is things that we won't see in here. And this is going to be all this tug of war going on behind the scenes between these different council members on, you know, it's the concessions. If I change this, can I get you to vote if I amend this part of it? And can I get you to vote on it if this is amended like this? And because everyone wants to get to a yes vote.
Right.
So there's going to be all this compromising going on behind the scenes, I feel, that we, of course, as a community, aren't going to hear about until January 13th.
Hmm. A lot of behind-the-scenes deal-making and arm-twisting, and maybe we can come up with something.
Yeah, and it was pretty obvious because you could even see it starting to happen in the chambers with council members running back and forth to each other during the meeting, whispering to each other, and you can see where where allies are teaming up and where patients are going to have a lot of work to do. I mean, three council members that I can see that patients in LA really need to work on is if Greg Smith is their council member, or Jan Perry, or Richard Aracon. Any patient that lives in any of those districts with those council members needs to be on them like white on rice.
All right. Well, we'll make sure to get them to do that. You know, they say sometimes that the making of laws is kind of like the making of sausage. You don't want to know how it's done, but we're glad we got people like you that are going to those meetings and bringing the news to all of us. For the folks out there listening who want to get involved and want to help, DeJay, what can they do? Who can they contact? Who can they write?
People who want to get a hold of me, my contact information is at cannabissaveslives.com. And when they get to that page, they can read about what we do. They can make a donation. Also, my email address and my direct phone number are there. I'm very easy to get a hold of.
All right. Thank you so much, DeJay. And Terry Joyce with American Hemptress. What are the details on the show if people want to see it or hear it or attend it?
Well, we are working for our next date. We do not have our next date yet in January, but I want to say that today, be on the lookout for our viral videos that are going to be coming out. We're going to be doing some sketches on medical marijuana and what's happening here in California, and some PSAs and stuff like that. So we're going to start putting that out there on YouTube and on the site, the normal site that, you know, my blog site that I have registered that I haven't done anything on yet. You know, so keep a lookout for us because we're going to be definitely expanding. So I'm real excited.
All right. We are looking forward to it. Terry Joyce and January Thomas in American Hemptress. Is that right? Got all that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Yeah.
And DeJay Couty from the Patients Advocacy Network. Ladies, thanks both of you for taking care of business down there in Southern California and joining us here on The Stash.
Thanks, Russ.
Bye.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. we are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our audio stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with the reminder that 2010 is going to be a landmark year in marijuana law reform, but you can't do a thing about it unless you get yourself registered to vote. Call your Secretary of State's office or go on the web and get yourself registered to vote. It's really easy to do. And with all of these initiatives and ballot measures coming across in the next couple of years, you'll be glad you did. Remember, nothing changes until we start demanding that it changes. And they don't listen to us unless they see you're losing our vote. So make your voice heard. Contact your representatives and senators. You can visit Normal's Take Action Center. Just go to normal.org. Look on the right-hand side for the button that says Write Your Representatives and get yourself involved. It's a lot easier than you think it is, especially in the day of the internet. Just plug in your zip code and we'll connect you to your representative and your senators. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.